Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord one more clap. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. As I just finished mentioning now, welcome everyone to the house of God. Welcome to the house of the Lord. And welcome all of you joining us right now online. I go by Pastor Teddy from Baltimore Christian Faith Center in Randallstown, Maryland. It is an honor and a pleasure and a privilege to share the word of the Lord every single week, to teach the word of God, what the Lord has placed in my heart, what the Lord has revealed, what the Lord has shown through his holy word, through prayer, whatever the case might be. And I am excited for the message for this morning. Amen? And the reason why I'm excited about it, once in a while this happens, is you get a confirmation. Sometimes I might have a short Bible study or a sermon or something like that, but once in a while I'm up in the air about it. I said, you know, Lord, is this where you want me to go? Is this what you want me to say? And then afterwards, someone might come or a few people might come and say, Pastor, that message was for me. That message spoke to me. This is exactly what I've been studying. It's whatever the case might be. And that lifts me up, and it's a reassurance, you know. But something else that also happens that I love is that the scripture that Brother Donald opened up this morning is just about exactly what I'm going to preach about this morning. And it seems as though he does that often. Oftentimes the Lord uses Brother Donald to confirm a message when he opens up the service by using almost the exact same verse that I'm going to be teaching on. So for that reason, I am excited for the word this morning. Amen? And as we always do, let's go ahead and open up with the word of prayer. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we love you, and we worship you, and we praise you. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day you have given us. We thank you, Lord, for the sunshine. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have blessed us with, Lord. Another day of life, another day that we can say that we love you. I thank you, Lord, for the brothers and sisters who are here this morning. And I also thank you, Lord, for everyone right now watching this live stream. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will speak to them also, Lord, just as much as you speak to us here. And as your word goes forth, I pray, Lord, that your name and your name alone be glorified. May your people, Lord, see you and hear you and not me. Thank you, Lord, so very much. Be glorified, Lord, in our midst. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. So, Brother Donald it was Matthew 9, right? Your verse came out of Matthew 9, but today I'm going to use Mark's account for my opening verse. And may I please have Mark, first of all, have we all brought our Bibles? Yes? Praise God. I like it. Thank you very much. If you haven't, you're welcome to wave your iPhone. No, I think everyone brought their Bibles today. Praise God. Please turn with me to Mark chapter 2. And we're going to start in verse 3. We're only going to read a couple of verses here. Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Mark 2. Mark 2, 3. And we're going to go from verse 3 to verse 5-ish, something like that. All right, all right. Okay, I'm ready for that. And the word of the Lord says, then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. And verse 5 says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, Your sins are forgiven you. Amen? I didn't want to go into deep detail of this setting right now, this morning, because then the message would be too long. This entire setting, what's happening right now. There is archaeology. There's archaeology that has been discovered that really describes the setting right now and what exactly is taking place. The word of the Lord mentions a house, but this wasn't in a house. This was actually almost like in a stadium setting. Actually, I'll go ahead and brief you real quick what's happening right now. So this was a conference. I believe this was a weekend conference, but don't hold me to that, the weekend part. But this was a conference. And if I could remember correctly when I heard this, I believe there were three or four speakers scheduled for this conference. And the Lord Jesus was invited to be one of the speakers. And he came on at the very last. He was the last speaker to teach, to share on this conference. And everybody came to hear the Lord Jesus preach and teach. And this is exactly what's happening. The place was packed, completely packed. You could not get in. They had already heard about this man performing miracles, signs and wonders, healing, right? So, by the time word got back to these guys here, call it five, right? Four friends and the paralytic. They had already heard of what was going on about this one man. And that's what prompted them to come. Now, these four men, as the Bible mentioned, they happened to arrive late. We don't know why. We don't know if they had a flat tire. We don't know if they came across an accident on a road. Backup traffic. We don't know. It's hard to say. One day we'll probably know. You know, when we make it to heaven, I'm pretty sure we're going to meet them. Actually, I'm quite positive of that. But nonetheless, they arrive late, carrying this man who's paralyzed, and they were carrying him in a bed. So then when they realized that they could not possibly get in through the front way, they carry this helpless paralytic friend upstairs to the roof and lower the bed right in front of Jesus as he was speaking. Now, imagine right now, me speaking right now, right? So I'm speaking right now, I'm sharing the word of the Lord, we're doing a Bible study. We have a pitch roof right now, and it's a little bit on the high side. It's quite a high roof, especially the peak. And imagine someone right now, a rope, a bed, just coming down, like right here in front of me as I'm speaking to you right now. Like, whoa, what's happening right now, right? Excuse me, like, I'm in the middle of something here, right? But this is what's happening in front of potentially thousands of people. This is happening live stream, right? On the spot. You know what you call this? Determination. You call this determination. And at a later time, I'm going to share with you who this paralytic man was. He was someone who was important. He was someone who was part of the government. I can't exactly place him right now if he was like a governor or if he was a mayor or I don't know who he was, but he was somewhere like in that realm. So when they saw this man being lowered down, they didn't rush the bed. They didn't sort of like, you know, rush the man, like try to get him out. And the man is speaking right now. There's a disturbance going on. They let him be. Because they knew that if they were to rush the bed, they'd probably be taken out. They were done for. So they feared the man that was being lowered at that very moment. But right now, I want to speak about the determination to place this man before our Lord Jesus, which ultimately shows one thing, and that ultimate thing is faith. Faith that he would be healed by this man who's speaking right now. Instead of being deterred by the problems of the crowd, they see the possibility for solving this problem. If they could only get God involved, this is what they were thinking, things all of a sudden would go well. If only I can get God involved in the situation that I'm going through right now. If only I, let's just say, do a fast, a 2-day, a 3-day, a 24-hour fast. It doesn't have to be 40 days. It doesn't have to be 2 weeks. There must be a sincerity. There must be a drive, a want. There must be a target. If only I can get the Lord involved in the situation that I'm in right now, I know that I know that I know that things are going to turn out for the best. And sometimes we might not know what the best thing is, but God knows. All that he wants is faith and persistence. Faith in the Lord and their actions. Right now, what you see, at this very moment right now, their actions are an example of the Apostle James' statement that we see in James chapter 2, verse 18. I'm ready for that. Check this out. James 2:18 says, "But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." I can also say by my actions. Amen? Amen? It's one thing for us to have a verbal faith. You might say, oh, anybody can say out in the streets, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. I'm a Christian this and I'm a Christian that. You hear this all the time. I believe in God. But it's a difference when you walk. When you walk, what do you say? Walk the talk? Walk the walk? Talk the talk, right? Sorry, I got a little confused there for a moment. There is a difference. There is a major, major difference. I will show you my faith based on my actions, based on my attitude. As the word of the Lord says, based on my works. This is what you're seeing right now. This is exactly what you're seeing right now. Testimony of beliefs without the works to prove them is literally invalid. Literally invalid. If we put on trial, for example, our beliefs, for sure, the court will say these words, "We want to see your faith in action." If your faith was put on trial, what would you do? Right? My wife was, where was this? She was cooking up a storm there in the kitchen. And she had the iPhone playing. And I think it was Kuhneman, right? What's his first name? Frank? Hank. I always say Frank. Hank Kuhneman, right? So I've been listening to Hank Kuhneman as of late. I like him. I like him quite a bit. His wife too? Yeah, his wife too. He was sharing a story how he was invited to Ukraine. And this was a few years back, and how a local force, it was like an army of some sort, the local army, surrounded the conference that he was doing there. And they said that everybody was going to be shot, especially the Americans. And they said that the only way that they wouldn't be shot is if they saw signs and wonders and miracles. He said, "We've been doing this before, and you're no exception. If you're just here to waste our time, to blow smoke, to cause a commotion or something like that, you're going down. So if there's no miracles, if there's no signs and wonders, we're taking you out. And his response was, okay, no problem, you know. And then he's saying to the camera, you know, no pressure whatsoever. It's, you know, all right, Lord, it's in your hands. And for the honor and glory of God, that one specific meeting, there were numerous miracles, signs, and wonders. Numerous. That's putting your faith on trial. Right? Let's see what you are about. And there are times in our lives that our faith will be put on trial. If the Bible requires something, it's because God ordered it, didn't it? The Lord God ordered us to do this, that, and the other thing, if the Bible says it. And if God ordered it, it should be a conviction, right? Because we don't question the Lord. The Lord knows everything. The Lord knows best. So, if it is a conviction, and if God ordered it, I would say that not to do it would be a sin. Not to do it would be disobedience to the Lord. And before we state what we have is a conviction, we must be prepared to say its opposite is sin. We must be prepared. I don't have this in the scripture list, and I just added this morning. May I please have, real quick, can you put up Romans chapter 14? Okay. Just want to show you real quick, just to back up what I just finished saying. Verse 23. Romans 14, 23, and you can put it up once you have it. As far as what I'm referring to right now. It says, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. And here's where I want you to highlight. For whatever is not from faith is sin. Our God instructs us to have faith, yes? Our God instructs us for us to be overcomers, to have faith in Him, to trust in His Word, yes? That's my conviction. That is my conviction in the Lord. If the Lord said it, I believe it, and I have faith in that. And the Lord honors our faith, all of our faith. Now, before we get back to the story here of the paralytic man, I just want to say that all of this happened. It all stemmed from, I would say, word of mouth. Word got around that this man by the name of Jesus, he go first name Jesus, last name Christ, he's healing everybody. This man is doing great, mighty wonders. Could this be the Messiah? Could this be the promised one? Could this be the son of David, the descendant of Jesse, and all of that? And as a result, thousands right now flock, they crowd to this place to hear this man, to receive something. And this act is instructed for every single one of us to do, starting from the Old Testament. For all our family, I want to briefly bring your attention right now to Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to read from verse 6 to verse 9. Listen to this. And these words, which I command you today, shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. This is what's called planting the seed early on. There is a reason why the Lord instructed us to do this. Our Lord clearly commands us to give our children a Christian education, a Christian foundation, so that when they grow, they will learn to seek the Lord, to trust in God, to go after the Lord in times of trouble, in times of need. Just as these men right now heard of something, and because of that word, they were prompt, they were propelled to seek God, to have God involved in this, the same we ought to do in our family life, at home, to our children. So that way they would grow up to be dependent on God. That is also a reason why we participate in Bible study, like right now. That we come to church and we study the Word of God. We read the Word of God. We hear the preachings and the messages and the teachings. So that way we know what to do when time comes. Amen? And right now in the situation that's taking place right now, our Lord finds faith. Listen to this. He finds faith in the friends. And He honors their faith. And He blesses them. These four men went out of their way to climb up a roof, carrying someone who's limp, along with a bed, along with feet and of rope to make all of this happen. And then they labor. I wonder how is it that they found exactly where to go on the roof to know this is where Jesus is. You ever stop and you think about that? All of this is part of determination. All of this is part of, I could even say, Holy Spirit guidance. God made that possible so that the Son of Man would be honored and glorified here on earth. That is determination. That is faith. That is getting God involved. And God honored them. Now, of course, no one can be saved by another's faith. Let's just make that clear. Yet, another or others can help him along to the Lord, since only the Lord can deliver him from the bondage of sin. You can have a major role in the life of your niece, in the life of your nephew, of your uncle, your mom, your dad, whoever it might be, your children. The Lord can use you to lead them to salvation, to minister blessing, to minister healing, for them to overcome their situation, their bondage, being pleased with their works, which exhibited from their faith. Our Lord responds to their resourcefulness and perseverance on behalf of their suffering friend. And I love it. Their faith in the Lord then is the catalyst in His performing this miracle. And our Lord works wherever faith is present. He does great and mighty things when there's faith involved. May I have now Luke 5:20. Luke 5:20 says, when He saw their faith, He said to him, man, your sins are forgiven you. When the Lord saw their faith, obviously, our Lord can perform His work anywhere, regardless of human faith. But He often chooses not to act when people lack faith in Him, as we see in Nazareth, as we read it in the book of Matthew, what had happened in Nazareth. May I have real quick, please, Matthew chapter 13, verse 58. This is what the word of the Lord says. Now He did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Now, I've been studying this particular verse for almost coming up to a year now. And I wasn't in liberty to go a whole lot into this study right now, but I will. I will. The study of unbelief and how sometimes that could hinder our blessing. How sometimes someone is able to receive a breakthrough, maybe even receive a healing or whatever the case might be, temporarily. Then afterwards, they go right back to the situation, to the same place, at times even worse. But this is not what this sermon is about. This sermon is about hope. And is hope being our motivator? This is what it's about. Hope motivates the paralytic friends to manifest faith in the Lord. First, their faith is a wise faith in that it brought the paralytic to the only person that can possibly intervene, to the only person that can do the impossible, the only way. Now, the second thing is, it is persistent faith because it is seemingly overwhelming obstacles, one after another. And the next thing is that it is a sacrificial faith in that it gives of its time and effort to bring this helpless person, this person that could not do anything for himself, before the Lord Jesus Christ. It is an intimidated faith because it is unashamedly displayed in public. It doesn't matter what people think. It doesn't matter what people do. It doesn't matter the circumstances that I might face as a result. I'm going to go ahead and do it. It is a humbling faith since the friends do not ask the Lord Jesus to come to him, but rather they take him to the Lord Jesus. Notice the difference? There is a difference here. No, not to say that the Lord won't work from afar off. There have been many people who approach the Lord Jesus. Lord, can you heal my daughter? Lord, can you heal my son? Lord, my daughter is very ill. She's about to pass. She's about to die. Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. All these things, right? The Lord wasn't there present, but he still did a mighty thing without even going there. But now these folks, they didn't care what the obstacle was. They made sure they went to the Lord. It is a loving faith because their friends willingly expend great efforts to get him real help. And finally, I want to say that it is an active faith in that they take the man to the Lord rather than sit around complaining and grumbling about their friend's condition. They did something about it. They were persistent. They had hope in the Lord. Let me show you right now, 1 Peter 1. We're going to read verse 20 and verse 21. And it says, he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you, who through him believed in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. There's a reason why we do this every single week. There is a reason why we come to church. There's a reason why we have an active prayer life. There's a reason why we stay on doing good works. One of those reasons also is that there is no hope in our surrounding. There's no hope on how things are going on right now. If anything, it seems like things are just getting worse and worse and worse. If we are looking for things to be resolved by the leaders of this world, And when I say world, I mean all around us, not just in the United States, but it could be also in your immediate surrounding. I'm here to say that you're going to be waiting for a while. You're going to be waiting for a while. If we are looking for hope from our own abilities to be clever, to think quickly, to have the right things, to have the right skills that we have developed, if you're going to place your hope on the education that you have received, or maybe someone that you might know, whatever we might put our hope in, we will be terribly disappointed because not one of them will be able to save us from what is about to come. Or not one of them will be able to save you from your current situation. We know what's about to come. We're living in the end times right now. We see all around us. Biblical prophecies are right now being manifested. They're being fulfilled as we speak this very moment. The end is right around the corner. But nonetheless, we don't place our hope in nothing here in this world. We place our hope in God. Our hope is in Him. It is hope that is, by all means, strong, firm. Faith is the foundation of all of this. It is our belief. But because we see something worth driving toward, a worthy goal, it is hope that motivates us to act. And as a result, we believe. And this is what we need to have hope in. In the Lord. In the Word of God. If the Lord says it, I believe it. And not an inch, a millimeter in me opposes the Word of God. I don't want to sin against my Lord. If the Lord said it, I believe it. If the Bible requires it, it's ordered by God. 100%. And if the Lord ordered it, it is my personal conviction. And anything else, anything less, I should say, is displeasing to my Lord. So, my hope in Him is my motivator. And I would like to close out this morning Bible study with Psalms chapter 146, verse 5. And the word of the God, and the word of the Lord says, "Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord, his God." Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's conclude with a word of prayer. Lord, we love you. Lord, we worship you. Thank you so much, Lord, for your holy word. Thank you, Lord, for the commands that you have placed here for us to do. For all, Lord, that you have instructed us to do. Thank you, Lord, that we could rely on you for every single problem, every single issue. Whatever it might be, Lord, from smallest to greatest. Thank you, Lord, so much that you guide us, that you lead us. And Lord, we want to serve you. We want to worship you, Lord. We want to bring praises to your name. We want to glorify your name. And I pray, Lord, that we will do it sincerely. That, Lord, we will do it consistently. No matter, Lord, what the obstacle might be, no matter how impossible things might be, Lord, I pray that we, Lord, will be committed to you at all times, in everything. Lord, as we always say, we love you, and we will always love you for as long as we live. And it is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.